Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We are going to get started here today, and I am thankful that having had a conversation with Joe Amedio after the funeral there on Thursday, he felt it would be important for Christians, and not necessarily our church, but I think he meant our church as well, to speak a little bit about the providence of God. And that's always a good thing. And so, Joe, thank you for that. You kind of divinely redirected me here. I was going to do something different here this morning. But you should have a handout with today's date on it. And we are going to talk about a part of providence and maybe a subcategory, so to speak, of providence is the awareness and the appreciation that God is good. God is good. And we have to maintain our trust that God is good. And providence is about God directing our lives, the good, the bad, the ugly, the blessings, and knowing that God is good in all of those things, the good, the bad, the ugly. And again, we're just on the heels of what has been a tragedy of sorts, at least for the Fazioli family. And yet, at the end of the day, we have to believe that this is God's purposes. This is God's directive. And God is good, as hard as that is. And so we have to trust that goodness is going to prevail. As a part of our lectionary this week, we do have Psalm number 1 as something of a summary psalm for our lectionary. And so we will sing this during our worship service, but to be familiar with it, let's stand and sing Psalm number 1. Priesthood of believers, we lift our hands to you in the sanctuary, and our hands are open unto you, Lord. Hear our cry. Lord, be with us today. Help us to know that you are good and that you do good. Father, our prayers continue to go out for the Fazioli family. Lord, and for all of us, help us to appreciate your goodness, to trust in your goodness. Father, to know that you are the sovereign King over all. Father, we pray that you'd go before us on this day. Pray for this Sunday school hour. Convict and convince us, Lord God, of your goodness by your word. Help us to abide in it. And Father, for our worship service later on, we would pray that it would redound to your glory and blessing. And we thank you, Lord, for calling us to be assembled. Thank you for making a way for us to approach you and to come into fellowship with you, and whereby we hear that our sins are forgiven, and where we're washed with your word, and where we commune with you at the table, the abundance, the bounty that you have blessed through the work of your Son, through his broken body and his shed blood. And Father, that you give us purpose in life, and you send us forth. We thank you that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We ask for your grace upon us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We do have some guests here with us today, Paul and Susan Edgar. It's good to see you here. And Paul is actually going to be preaching during our service today, so we're looking forward to that. And I'll introduce him a little bit more fully as we begin our worship time, but it's good to see you. Trust that your day here will be a blessing to you, as I'm sure your presence will be a blessing to us. As I mentioned, I was, I don't know if I was challenged, but Joe just kind of offhandedly commented to me that, you know, we were at the funeral there, and to hear about God's providence. And I don't know, Joe, was it specific to our group or the church at large, do you think? What prompted that comment that you made?
It's been on my mind for a long time, but what I saw here Thursday was just, you know, there was a large crowd here. You know, we don't know who's saved and not there.
Yeah.
I just, you know, to me, providence of God, that doctrine is probably, to me, it's very, very important.
Yeah.
And especially in our day, you know, what's going on. Christians and non-Christians, what you just have to understand. You know, man is not God. Man is not in control. God is.
Yeah.
Everything's happening. Everything is, there's no such thing as an accident.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there was people sitting here Thursday, mind you, why did this happen to Jeremy, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe they had to think that came to their own family that suffered the same thing. But, and I think back, you know,
and there's no such thing as fate.
Right, and I think back 3.5 years ago when Joan went home to the Lord.
Yeah.
I struggled for a long time with that. God, providence.
Yep.
Got me through it.
Yeah.
And he also taught me to keep my eyes on him.
Yeah.
He's the boss. You're not charging anything.
Amen. Amen. So what is providence? Providence really is the benevolent guidance of God in our lives. And that takes many forms. His benevolent guidance in terms of everything. And of course, providence is related to the word of provision. And provision is pro-vision, meaning he looks out ahead. He knows he has a plan. And provision is also, we know provision as supply for us, right? And it's related to this idea of goodness, right? And we all know Romans 8 and 28, right? For all things work together for good, right? To those who are the called. And so goodness is at least a component, maybe a baseline foundation of providence. And, you know, I try to pay attention to words. And so after the funeral service, we go to the committal at our cemetery out here. And, you know, the opening words of that formal committal service is along these lines. Insomuch that it has pleased Almighty God in his wise providence to take the soul of our beloved brother out of this world. Okay, so the whole foundation of even a committal service is that inasmuch as it has pleased Almighty God in his wise providence. So we're recognizing God's providence as we're laying a brother to rest, right? So even in those formal words. A text for us to look at here would be Psalm 136. And this is the psalm that every single verse in this psalm concludes with this clause, "For his mercy endures forever." For his mercy endures forever. And you just have all of these responsive readings, "For his mercy endures forever." But the very first verse of it says this, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." And you know, the goodness of God is kind of one of these things we just kind of read past. For he is good. You know, flip to the back, the very back of your handout here. And I'll take the time here while we're at it, and I have my Bible open anyway, to remind you about what Psalm 107 says. Psalm 107 says this, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever." So it opens with that, but there's these little stories in between as Psalm 107 kind of rehearses the history of Israel. And you know what? You look at the history of Israel and you can see, boy, there's a lot of ebb and flow, a lot of valleys as well as mountain peaks and, you know, just tough times. And there's this constant reminder about God's goodness. So we saw it in verse 1. If we look at verse 8, it says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men." And so, again, in the ebb and flow of life, whether you get a broken leg, whether you have a cancer diagnosis, a couple of gentlemen here have had strokes, whether you've had COVID, right? Whether you got other weird things like some of us have. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness," in verse 8. Another block of history in the next several verses, and then the refrain in verse 15. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men." And so he's cycling through all of these different things that God has done in history. Another block of history from verses 15 and on through verse 20. Then in verse 21, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness." Just this refrain of God's goodness. And so this is a baseline that we must maintain. And again, oftentimes our image of God comes from our earliest experiences with human beings, from father-type figures. And so maybe you had a good father, maybe you didn't have a good father. If you didn't have a good father, you're going to be challenged with this. And so what should inform our opinion of God? Some of us have to fight harder against our early experiences and lean more on the Word of God, for he is good, to constantly remind ourselves that he is good, right? He is good. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord, for he is good, for his wonderful works to the children of men." There's another block of history in Israel there, and then we come over to verse 31. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men." And then there's a closeout to this psalm, and it doesn't include the word good, but this is what it says, verse 43. "Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." And the Hebrew there is hesed, the love, the faithful covenant-keeping kindness. Whoso is wise, so here we are in Sunday school, right? We want to be wise. "Whoso is wise and will observe these things," meaning this constant refrain that God is good. And if you haven't had setback in your life yet, thank God for it. If you have, remember this. Whoever is wise and will observe these things, the goodness of God, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. All right. let's go back to the beginning here. And this little handout that I have for you is from A.W. Pink from a couple of generations ago, His Attributes of God. It's a thin little book. We've studied this way in the ancient past here, but I want to take a look and go through it. The goodness of God. The goodness of God endures continually, and there's just so much in the scripture about this. It refers to his perfection in his nature. It's who he is. You know, when the rich young ruler intercepts Jesus there on the road, what does Jesus say? There is one good, right? One good. Speaking of God, you and I can do good things, right? Paul says, I know that in me, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Innate goodness is not a part of who we are. We may do good things, right? But what does the scripture say? The very plowing of the wicked is sin. But God has this innate goodness. Such is the absolute perfection in God's nature, and being that nothing is wanting to it or defective, nothing can be added to make it better. He is originally good, good of himself, which nothing else is. Talk about a supreme being, right? Not only supreme in power, but supreme and exclusively good. All creatures are good only by participating in communication from God. He is essentially good, not only good in terms of what he does, but goodness itself. The creature's good and a super added quality in God. It is his essence. He's infinitely good. The creature's good is but a drop in a bucket. But in God, there is an ocean, an infinite ocean of gathering together of good. He's eternally and immutably, meaning that means it can't be changed. He cannot be less than good than he is, and there can be no addition to it. In formal theology, he is the summum bonum, the highest good. God is not only the greatest of all beings, he is the best. His goodness, a little farther down, is derived, meaning it doesn't come from anywhere else, it comes from himself. A little farther down, so he was eternally good before there was any communication or transfer of his bounty or any creature to whom it might be imparted. Thus, the first manifestation of divine perfection was in giving being to all things, you are good and doest good. He is good and he does good. Psalm 119. God has in himself an infinite and inexhaustible treasure of all blessedness, enough to fill all things. And you know, I just don't think that we think about this often enough, that he's good. And what an attitude adjustment we would have if we did. Just like it said there in Psalm 107:43, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness. All that emanates from God, his decrees, his creation, his laws, his providences. And again, his providences are his plan, his working out. When we think about the death of anyone, we must think in terms of God's providence. And therefore, we must think about if all things work together for good, we have to think about his goodness. All that emanates from God, decrees, creation, his laws, his providence, cannot be otherwise than good. Just like it is written in the very beginning, God saw everything that he made, turning the page, and behold, it was very good. Thus, the goodness of God is first seen in creation. The more closely the creature is studied, the more the beneficent sense of the Creator becomes apparent. Take the highest of God's earthly creatures, man, and you look at our bodies, right? The way it works. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully, wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knows right well. And all the things God does to us, right? How suitable the hands he gives to us to perform the work that he gives to us. How good of the Lord to appoint sleep to refresh the weary body. His benevolence, his provision, that's related to providence again, to give eyes lids and brows for their protection. And so, infinitely, we can talk about the perfections of mankind. Nor is the goodness of the Creator confined to man. It is exercised towards all his creatures. The eyes of all wait upon thee. You give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. And again, books could be written about this. He gives food to all flesh. His mercy endures forever. Truly, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. I said earlier that oftentimes our impression of our Heavenly Father is owing to our perception of our earthly father. Okay, I'm going to do this again, okay? Don't get sick of this, okay? With every eye closed and every head bowed, really. How many here, by a raised hand, think that the impact that their earthly father had on them in a negative way has negatively influenced your perception of God? Put those hands up. Don't be shy. Seen a couple of hands. A couple more. All right. Good. This is just, you know, some of our early experiences here. We don't need to do psychology here, but what we have to do is we have to make sure that our response to God is informed by the Word. What's the sign say out front? Anybody other than Jerry know what it says? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. So here we are. We even come to Christ with all this baggage, right? Maybe it's not just your father, but some other authority figure who has impacted your view of God. Well, the Bible is our great corrective for that. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Halfway down the page here. Now, the goodness of God is seen in the variety of natural pleasures which he has provided for his creatures. Okay? Food, right? Meat, vegetables, fruit, our senses, right? All of this reflects God's goodness. The earth being fertile, the beautiful flowers, right? How pretty the fields, music, all of that is from God. Near the bottom of the page, the goodness of God is seen in that when man transgressed the law of his Creator, a dispensation of unmixed wrath did not at once commence. Okay, let's take that apart here. Unmixed wrath would have been nothing but wrath. And that's what we deserve from our transgression, right? The wages of sin is death. We deserve unmixed wrath. Nothing but wrath. Okay? And it did not commence all at once. Right? And so if our sins deserve hell and we're still alive and we're not Christians, we deserve an immediate escort into the court of God and into eternal punishment. But God didn't do that. Well, might God have deprived his fallen creatures of every blessing, every comfort, every pleasure. He could have done that, right? But what does it say in Ezekiel? Lord, you have punished us less than our sins deserve. That's a good thing to remember all the time. Lord, you have punished us less than our sins deserve. Instead, he ushered in a regimen of mixed nature of mercy and judgment. Yeah, we should have gotten all thorns and thistles. We did get some thorns and thistles, but we also have beautiful flowers and nice sunsets. He ushered in a regimen of mixed nature, thorns and thistles and flowers, mercy and judgment. This is very wonderful if it be duly considered. And the more thoroughly that regime be examined, the more it will appear that mercy triumphs over judgment. Praise be, James 2. Notwithstanding all the evils which attend our fallen state, the balance of good greatly preponderates, meaning that there's a preponderance, a greater proportion. With comparatively rare exceptions, men and women experience a far greater number of days of health than they do of sickness and pain. Now, the older we get, maybe the less we believe that that is true. But there again, the word tells us that, right? The days of the years of a man's life are 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80, if you're close to 80, their days are filled with labor and toil, trouble, right? There is much more creature happiness than creature misery in the world. Even our sorrows admit of considerable alleviation, and God has given to the human mind a pliability which adapts itself to circumstances and makes the most of them. Nor can the benevolence of God be justly called into question because there is suffering and sorrow in the world. If man sins against the goodness of God, if he despises the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long sufferings, and after the hardness and impenitency of his heart treasures up unto himself wrath against the day of wrath, who's to blame for that except himself? And then think of it this way. Would God be good if he did not punish those who ill-used his blessings, who abuse his benevolence and trample his mercies beneath their feet? It will be no reflection upon God's goodness, but rather the brightest exemplification of it, when he shall rid the earth of those who have broken his laws, defied his authority and mocked his messenger, scorned his son and persecuted those for whom he died. The goodness of God appears most illustriously when he sent forth his son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. I mean, you talk about the goodness of God. For God so loved the world, that was his goodness, that he sent his son. Then it was that a multitude of the heavenly hosts praised their Maker and said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The angels were singing at the birth of Christ. What a good thing this was, God was doing. Yet the gospel, the grace, which word in Greek conveys the same idea of benevolence or goodness of God, that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Nor can God's, that word means kindness, be called into question because he has not made every sinful creature to be a subject of his redemptive grace. He did not bestow it upon the fallen angels. Had God left all to perish, it would have been no reflection on his goodness. Wow, imagine that. To any who would challenge this statement, we will remind him of our Lord's sovereignty. His prerogative. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Remember that parable? Is your eye evil because I am good? So God chooses out and elect and he saves them. And if anybody's going to complain about that, their eye is evil. because he's exercising goodness. And this was from Psalm 107. I quoted all of the repeated ones. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for the wonderful works to the children of men. Gratitude is the return justly required from the objects of his benevolence. Yet it is often withheld from our great benefactor simply because his goodness is so constant and so abundant. Sun came up today. Did we thank God for that? Comes up every day, so we kind of get used to it. Okay? I won't do, you know, with every head bowed and every eye closed, but I could do this, right? How many people had breakfast this morning? Most of us, unless for some rather rare reason, you decided not to. It's so constant. It's so abundant. This morning, he opened his hand and he satisfied the desires of our stomachs. It is lightly esteemed because it is exercised toward us in the common course of events. Through the great, you know, the mustard seed, the tree that is the kingdom, we now have all these creature comforts. We're not outside where it's, what is it, 18 degrees or 26. We're warm, we're comfortable. We're sitting on padded seats, right? Common course of events. It is not felt because we daily experience it. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness? His goodness is despised when it's not improved as a means to lead men to repentance. We despise it when we say, oh, I should be thankful for this padded seat I'm sitting on. And I'm out of the weather. And I have air conditioning. And I have food. And I have transportation. And I have communication. And I have medical supplies. And the list goes on and on and on. The goodness of God is the life of the believer's trust. You know, this is so important. We won't trust if we don't believe in the goodness of God. And trust is related to faith, right? We can glory in tribulation because tribulation works patience. Patience, experience, and experience hope because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. The goodness of God is the life of the believer's trust. It is this excellency in God which most appeals to our hearts. Because his goodness endures forever, we ought never to be discouraged, right? Easier said than done. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows them that trust in him. And again, our trust is based on us believing in his goodness. So foundational. You know, I have a little note to myself here about this idea of these everyday occurrences that we just take for granted. I can remember this got to go back 25 years, whenever it was way back when, Karen, when we went to Hawaii. How many years ago was that? 25, something like that. Yeah, something like that. Okay, so the return flight, okay? There was this slight delay. Is it called deplaning, getting off the plane? Is that what they call it? Disembarking, whatever it is, getting off the plane. Okay, so we just returned from Hawaii. Now we took an airplane. Okay, and yeah, it may have taken us 6 or 8 hours or whatever. But so there's this slight delay in terms of the jetway coming up to the door, and you know, I just remember standing there and I'm saying, you know, and me, you know, me with flying and everything, and that's a little later story. I know Paul's an old Pratt Whitney guy, but. You know, but just the marvel of modern transportation. So we safely land in Albany, okay? Something that happens every day for everybody, but it doesn't happen every day for me because I don't fly very much, right? So we safely land in Albany, coming back from Hawaii. We just had this wonderful vacation. Was that our 20th anniversary? Is that what it was? 20th? Whatever it was. So anyway, so we got the slight delay getting off the plane, and these people from the back row are just moaning like nobody's business. You know, like, when the hell are we going to get off this damn plane? And I'm saying, this damn plane just got us from Hawaii safely back home. I mean, the mindset of unthankfulness is enormous, and it's damnable and deadly. That wasn't you in the back row, was it? No. But you know, I mean, you think about the things that happened to us, and how could you have that attitude that you got this minor inconvenience on the heels of this enormous blessing? When others behave badly to us, it should only stir us up the more heartily to give thanks unto God, because He is good. Okay, somebody treats you badly? Ah, that's a reminder. God treats me well. And when we ourselves are conscious that we are far from being good, we should only the more reverently bless Him because He is good. We must never tolerate an instant's unbelief as to the goodness of the Lord. I won't do that every eye closed and head bowed, but you know, how many times have we tolerated an instant of unbelief as to the goodness of God? Whatever else may be questioned, this one is certain: Jehovah is good. His dispensations may vary. The dispensations are the outworking, the spankings, right? The paddlings we get in life, the illnesses we get. His dispensations may vary, but His nature of goodness is always the same. And so whether we're being paddled or we're being pruned, He is good. And all God's people said.
Amen.
Any thoughts on this? I just was intercepted by Joe's comments there at the funeral. We may do some more on providence, but I felt this was a foundation. Anybody? Any thoughts? When I say we're good, y'all say no. Right? We're good?
No.
Who's good? Beautiful. You got it. Father God in heaven, we thank You for Your great goodness to us. And Father, I trust that during this time there has been not only a mental assent and an intellectual grasp of this, but this is transferred, Lord, to us being able to truly appreciate You for all things. All things, large and small. Thank You for being good. Thank You that this enables us to trust. And thank You, Lord, that You know and You remember those who place their trust in You. Lord, we trust that You're calling us to worship. Help us to be ready in the moments ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.